All right, so I wanted to. I've been feeling kind of led to go this way, and still doctrine, but not. This is what I would call everyday life doctrine, and so I've been feeling led to go this way after having talked to different ones and even some of the own things happened in my own life. And I just wanted to, let's take a few services and let's just go through some of these things. And let's talk about, you know, everything in the world today, they are trying to sell you. You know, I noticed one day I was going to work and they were talking about, They had an advertisement for clothes, and the advertisement was for clothes. There was no clothes in the advertisement. It was just a male model that had no shirt on, and they were advertising sexy and youth and all this glorifying of themselves. That's what they were using to advertise the clothes with. And so they were advertising this false thing that you could have this, if you bought their clothes, you could have these things, this appeal to the world. And I thought how horrible that is, because there's so many things in this life. As you go along, you know, when we're young, we don't see them because we're kind of assuming and kind of oblivious to things. But as we get older, and especially as we get older in Christ, we begin to see everything that Satan does when he dangles things in front of people and makes promises. He's constantly making promises. You know, if you have this house and it's this big and you have this car, then you'll have peace. Then you'll be happy. You know, everything they try to sell you is this happiness that they have. It's their idea of happiness, their idea of peace, their idea of satisfaction. And as we go along, we find out that there's nothing in any of it that brings a lasting satisfaction. None of it. None of it brings a lasting peace. And so many times, people even see that. They even see that it doesn't bring a lasting peace. And they still can't turn loose of it. They still, as the rich young ruler, Jesus showed him what he needed to do. He needed to turn loose of it. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't turn loose and rely on God. He had to rely on these other things. And it's not just that, it's not just things and money, it's our own ideas, it's our own thoughts about stuff, it's our own feelings about things that we don't want to turn loose of, that we want to rely on those and not rely on God. And so many times in this life, I know you've found yourself having went down that road and didn't know it, especially before you met Christ. But even after you become a Christian, Satan still has little things he tries to do. And he gets away with for a while until God shows us what he's doing. But I wanted us to talk this morning about a lasting peace and where that comes from and how that it does not go away. That peace doesn't go away. And it doesn't matter what happens in this life or what we do or don't have in this life, or anything else, all that matters is his word. And that's where we're at. And so let's look at those, let's look at some thoughts behind that, some examples. I really started bearing down in this message, he cares, do you care? And we're not going to stay in there. We're just going to get a little bit at that this morning, but I think we'll get back in that on Wednesday. But let's start there this morning, where he takes his scriptures in that message. Now this morning, just prior to the prayer for the sick, we're going to read some of God's word, which we know that without this word, it's impossible there's nothing can be done. So without the word, nothing can be done. Mm-hmm. We have to believe that. That's where this approach starts. That without the word, this cannot be done. Nothing is possible. Nothing lasting is possible. We know that without this word, it's impossible. There's nothing can be done. And only the word can produce these blessings that we're asking for the sick and the needy. And so as we look into this morning, he talks about sick, he talks about salvation, but it's any promise of God. We're asking for the sick and the needy. So it's only the word that can produce these blessings. And we have to believe that it's only the word that can produce those blessings. It's only that. Mm-hmm. That's where we have to put our entire trust into. We have to die to every other idea that there was some way to get this blessing without his word. And it'll create a hunger for this. Mm-hmm. And the only word that can, it's only the word that can produce these blessings that we're asking for, the sick and the needy. And I want to read some from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and then he's going to read from Hebrews. So this is from Peter. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. So Paul's saying he's an elder too. And he's exhorting them all. And a witness of the suffering of Christ. He didn't see Christ suffer. So what is he talking about? He's a witness. Seeing he's living for Christ. What did he say? He said, to die is gain. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. And the witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker. Now, this is Peter. I'm sorry. Peter did see the suffering of Christ. I was thinking it was his Hebrews. Forgive me. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. So Peter's telling them to feed them. Now, it's how they feed them is the thing. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Don't take this oversight of feeding the flock by constraint, but willingly. Come willingly to it, not for filthy lucre, not for money or for gain of some sort, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords. Now, he's talking about them doing something for the Lord. And this scripture, he's going to tie in as he goes through this message of how you should approach everything you do for the Lord. You do it willingly. You do it without constraint. You don't do it for some gain, and you do it with ready mind. And neither as being lords over God's heritage. See, these leaders of the flock, they're not lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He's telling these that are living that word. Likewise, because he's talking to the elders. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you that subject one, be subject one to another. See, if you're subject one to another, it has to be the word in every one. All of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now I want you to notice there what he's saying. You're going to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, which is his word, and what he's doing, that he may exalt you in due time. Don't miss that part. It's the promise, and you're dwelling under that promise, that he may exalt you in due time, that he may make himself known in you. Anytime God makes himself known in you, you have been exalted. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And he goes on down, and he just talks about his service here. He said, now I'm pulling for giving a text, casting your care. My text is, he cares, do you care? Then he goes on down here to, let's just read that. Want to read this portion now while you're turning to Hebrews 2, that you might see the real meaning of these words. We want you to see the real meaning of these words, not us just reading over them. That they, what this text means. Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We've heard, the prophet has brought us. We ought to give those the most earnest heed. Think about it. Do we do that? Do we take the things that the prophet said and give them the most earnest heed? Most means above. It's above anything else. We give it the most earnest heed. Lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. He said, now he wants to use this as a subject. He cares, and do you? When he was here on earth, he cared for the people. The thought of it rises in my mind just before speaking or praying for the sick, not knowing just what kind of prayer line we'll have. First, and to approach this, the audience must be anointed by faith. When we go to pray for these things, you must be anointed by faith. If you do not have faith, there's no need of coming to be prayed for, because it's going to take your faith and my faith together. Remember what he said? The angel told him that if he prayed and if you could get them to believe, there wouldn't be nothing standing in the way. So it's going to take your faith and my faith together. My faith to believe him, your faith to believe him, so we don't forget this now as I go along. Now, don't miss the point that your faith in what's happening, he's pointing that out. Your faith in God, his faith in God, and they're having this where they're praying for sick, and you are recognizing what God is doing. He's answering the prayers of this brother, and he's answering your prayers through this. So we don't forget this now as I go along. We've got to have something evidently, with evidence I mean, that we can base our faith upon when we're trying to do what we're trying to do. So we got to have something. Why do we believe this is going to work? That we're having this prayer and that you're going to let me lay hands on you and we're going to pray and you believe something's going to happen. Where are we laying that on? Because if a man approaches anything he wants to do without sufficient faith, it's bound to be a failure. So if he don't come to it with faith, if God's not leading him to do it, he's bound to be a failure. But if he can approach it with sufficient faith, then he's bound to succeed if it is according to God's will and purpose to do it. So let's back up just a little bit and let's go look at some quotes he brought here back in the 50s. This is a message called "The Unity of One God in the One Church." Some time ago, up here in Indiana, there was two boys that was raised out on a farm. And they were just as poor could be, farmer boys. And they grew up together. And one day, one of them got married. And a few days afterwards, the other one got married. And one of them went into the city to live. And he began to play the stock markets, got away from his childhood teachings, went into the wrong thing. And he played them and got richer and richer till finally he became a multimillionaire. And he moved up into Chicago and got on one of the great streets and built himself a palace. And look what he's doing. Look what's driving him. He thinks he's going to find peace doing this. He thinks he's going to find something that he didn't have. Him and his wife run to nightclubs. And they drink cocktails. And they laid out all night. And they have butlers and everything to furnish them. Anything that they wanted. And they thought they were really living. But a man that lives like that has no peace. There is no peace to a troubled heart. Yeah. To a sinful heart, there cannot be peace. If a man longs to drink and cause that life, he thinks he is having a big time. He shows his emptiness. He shows that he's empty. He's trying to fill himself up. And he just keeps going back to this trough that is the world. And he thinks that, you know, more money and more stuff and more parties and more drinking. And that'll just satisfy him. And every time he has to go back to the trough because he's empty. None of it's ever filling him up. He thinks he's having a big time. He shows his emptiness. Take a man, make $1 million. He wants two. Take a man that goes to a party and drinks one drink, he wants another. Take a man lives untrue to his wife once, he'll live it again, vice versa. See, it's something, and he's never satisfied. Remember, Brother Branham has talked about this a lot in some of the other messages and things about drinking from the fountain and things, but... Let's just stay with this for a little bit. See, it's something, and he's never satisfied. So he has to keep going back. And it doesn't dawn on him that that's not fulfilling what he wants. That's not lasting. That it doesn't take care of him. He might have $1 million in his hand. Or 10 million in his hand. He lays down at night with a drunken stew on him. He wakes up the next morning, haunted, nightmares, troubled mind. And you call that peace. That's not peace. That's no peace. But a man might not even have a pillow to press his head to. He might not even own a decent pair of shoes or able to have a decent meal in his house. But if God reigns, not if God has a place sometimes, but if God reigns in his heart, he goes to bed happy and wakes up happy. It's a lasting peace. It's something that God does. It's something that God does, see? We have to accept the pardon. Katrina and I listened to that message the last time called The Pardon. If you don't accept the pardon, then none of what is done for you applies. The pardon, until you accept it, is not yours. You can have it right in front of your hand. And unless you take it as yours, and as we get on in this message, he cares to you, he'll really pin this down. But that's the problem. There's so many people who will come up so close to God reigning in their heart and then stop. And then let a little of this abide, and a little of this abide, and a little of this abide. And God never reigns. And it becomes a perversion of God reigning, as the scripture talks about having a form of godliness. You know, you can be all around this message and have a form of godliness. It's there. But if God reigns in his heart, he goes to bed happy and wakes up happy. It's a lasting peace. It's something that God does. See, it's something you can't do. It's something you have to trust him for. All right, so we're going to go into this message, El Shaddai. And I know y'all know that El Shaddai means the breasted one. Look at what Brother Branham says here. He's talking to Abraham. Now, we know with Abraham, that's one of the greatest promises that we know of. When he gave Abraham his promise, he said, I have already done it, Abraham. Abraham, you're old. You're just like a little baby. Why, you have no life in your body. Your body's as good as dead. But I am the breasted one. And we find every last one of them. As he's speaking to Abraham, you can think of us as we're born into this world and we come into this world as sinners, how that this relates to us. A body, he says, your body is as good as dead. But I am the breasted one. But there's a way out, see. Just take a hold of my promise and just keep nursing. Just keep nursing the promise. Let the promise rain. You can't be nursing from the promise and it not raining. See, that's where you're getting all your sustenance. Isn't that how you say it? That's where you're getting all your sustenance from. You're nursing. The baby has no other way of getting sustenance. That's it. And when the word becomes like that to us, that we cry and cry for it, and when we get it, that's the only thing that satisfies. He nursed for 25 years. He nursed that promise. That promise gave him sustenance every single day for 25 years. Brother Ram says, we can't nurse 10 minutes. And then call ourselves Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. I'm Abraham's seed. Take a hold of God's promise and stay with it. Just stay there and nurse the satisfier. This is where so many people get away from God. They want to come and kneel down and say a prayer and have a man say something and go get baptized and then they're finished. They're not nursing the promises of God. They obeyed a promise and went and done those things, but they're not nursing the promise. When a man hears, faith cometh by hearing, hears that Christ died for his sins, and he's accepted. He hears that Christ died for his sins, and he hears that he's accepted. Christ revealed to him, telling him he's accepted. Because God's knocked at his heart. Because God's knocked at his heart. Just like God spoke those words to the little woman at the well, and it knocked on her heart. He's got an invitation to the wedding supper. Now listen. He's got an invitation to the wedding supper when he knocked on his heart. Then he takes a hold with all that's in him and nurses. He nurses that invitation to the wedding supper and nurses until his spirit begins to grow and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He becomes a real born-again Christian. Now you think about every promise of God. As God brings the promise to you when you have need, and he wants you to nurse from him, from his promise. That's what the three Hebrew children done. That's what Daniel done. That's what Abraham done. That's what they all done down through the ages. And man that's sick hears that he, faith cometh by hearing. God is the healer. So he hears that. A man is sick, he hears that. You just take right to the other breast and just lay right on to God's goodness, drawing his promise. Look, you've put, I've used that analogy about putting all your eggs in one basket because I know a lot of people say don't do that. But this, you put all your eggs in one basket. You put it all in him. You nurse like this is, there's no other place to nurse from. And there isn't, not to be satisfied. Drawing his promise, pulling it from the Bible every day, reading it, believing it, taking God, praising him, satisfied that you're going to be perfectly well. There's a little woman was here last night in a wheelchair. I don't see her here now. I went down to pray for her last night, a couple nights ago. And she got up out of the wheelchair and went walking down through there. And some man wanted to help her, said, get away from me. That's what she told him, to get away from me. She went walking on. Last night, when I went down to pray for the wheelchairs, I thought I'd pray for her. She said, Brother Branham, the Lord's already healed me. Said, I just sitting here resting, going to be up in a few minutes. I've walked 4 or 5 times today. I'm getting better all the time. So she'd been up walking. She just went back and sat down to rest a little bit. She's probably sitting out in the audience somewhere tonight or some. She's not here in a wheelchair anyhow. Why? She took a hold of that breast of God, and she's nursing back her strength, certainly. Oh, I'm so glad to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He feeds his little ones, pours his strength into his believers through his word. Now that's, Brother Holmes was so strong on the word being everything, and that we don't compromise on the word everywhere, anywhere. And so was the prophet. So was anybody who's ever believed that has really been born again. And he feeds his little ones, pours his strength into his believers through his word. Now, that ought to make us reverence that word with everything, because this is what's happening. He's pouring his strength into us through that word. That is, if you believe that, you're latching on to that breast. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then, when the believer comes, he comes up to El Shaddai, and he leans upon his bosom, and he just draws God's strength right into his own body by believing his word. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That's the truth. What an encouragement. Now, he's talking about Abraham again. What an encouragement to an old man, 100 years old, as good as dead, and the wombs of Sarah already closed when she was born sterile. And what a message. I am your strength giver. I am El Shaddai. So all the world, you know, there might have been doctors back then. We can give her this and we can give her that, and that'll make her this and this will make her that. But he didn't put his faith there. And God waited until he was old to give him this promise. Waited till he was 75 to give him this promise. And then he waited 25 years for the promise to be made manifest. And Abraham was nursing the whole time. Already closed when she was born sterile. And what a message. I am your strength giver. I am El Shaddai. Not only did he give Abraham that faith And he gave him the promise. God is bringing his word to pass there. God's going to make sure it happens. You're 100 years old, but you're just a baby to me. Lay up here in my arms and take a hold of my promise. And just don't you never let off such a promise. Then what can you do? As the whiskers get old, as your hair turns gray, as you still nurse and be satisfied that I'll keep my word. Doesn't matter how sick you are, how much it's hurting, how much anything is taking place. We're nursing God's word. We're nursing a reality, not the one that has been perverted in this world. You can still nurse and be satisfied that I'll keep my word. The doctor can say, you're getting worse and worse. That don't have one phase to you. Look how sound this nursing has made this person. When they nurse and nurse from God, and they latched onto this promise, and they say you're getting worse and worse, it don't phase you one bit, Brother Ram said. You talk about a sure thing. You talk about a lasting peace. It didn't phase Abraham. I could call him Brother Abraham. It didn't phase him for 25 years. That don't have one phase to you. You're still nursing from the breast of El Shaddai. God, you spoke it in my heart. You gave me the promise. All the devils out of hell can't take it away from me. I'm satisfied that I'll be well. I'm nursing from El Shaddai. Amen. In salvation, if there's anybody who happens to listen to this, salvation is the same way. He said that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And he will, and for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you diligently seeking him, you hungering and thirsting for righteousness, that's him. He put that in your heart, and he gave you the promise, and he fulfills it. He told Abraham what? I am. I've already done it, Abraham. It was not something man was going to do. That's the reason Brother Branham said that even in the position that Moses was in, Moses couldn't deliver the children of Israel in that position. There is the king in Egypt, or up there with the king. Nope. He had to take him out on the backside of the desert and get everything out of him so he could deliver the Israel through Moses. And that's the way the promises come too. We get everything out. So the only thing we're feeding on is the only thing there is to feed on. And that's the promises of God. All right. So we're coming on over here, following the same thought about nursing. Like I told you before, like the little baby that's fretting and sick and crying, it's sick. It's fretting. It's crying. Don't that sound like somebody who is in this world looking for God and can't find him? They've tried everything to find him. But there's a breasted one that can satisfy those people. And it's not just that salvation. It's any promise of God. Anything you have need of. Remember the names of Jehovah. Like I told you before, like the little baby that's fretting and sick and crying, and it lays upon its mother's breast and nurses its strength back from her because it's satisfied while it's nursing, because the only access it has and knows of is the mother's breast. You see why it's satisfied during this? It's because it's the only one he knows of. We don't know any other source to be satisfied. We don't know any other source to have peace. We don't know anything else to bring us the things that we have need of, the real things that we have need of. It's just this mother's breast to this baby. Brother Branham is painting such a beautiful picture to us spiritually. This is how people must come spiritually. Because the only access it has and knows of is the mother's breast. It knows no dose of medicine. It might give him a you might give him a dose of medicine. He'll squeal and cry. Give him a shot in the arm and he'll carry on. But the only access to satisfy him is the mother's breast. Maybe we could go meditate on that a while. And he said, Abraham, you're old. Your strength is gone. Your arms are withered up. Your manhood's gone. But I'm your mother. God's our mother. Just take a hold of my promise and be satisfied while you're waiting. Be rested. Now, that's the way. That's the way every believer, no matter how bad the cancer's got you, no matter how bad this addiction has got you, no matter how bad the world has pulled you aside, no matter how bad, how long you've been sitting in the wheelchair, no matter how bad it is, nor how long it's been going on, how long you've been sitting in a wheelchair, any of those things, just if you can grasp that revelation from God, if he given you that hunger, then grasp it. If you're hungry for the breast, for the El Shaddai, then take the breast. Then be satisfied, truly satisfied, knowing it's going to happen because faith waits patiently for the promise. So let's go back over into this message. And this is going back to He Cares, Do You Care? Now, I was thinking of him caring last evening. Somehow, strangely, I was led by the Holy Spirit. Now, before we get going in this, I want you to notice something as we read along. He's talking about God caring. And the whole time he's talking about God caring, he's talking about how God's acting in his life and taking him to this person and taking him to that person, and God's healing this prayer, and how these people are trying to get in front of him. Now, we're not trying to make Brother Branham a god, but God chose to use Brother Branham. And so he's talking about God caring through him. God's caring through the prophet. He cares through the ministry. He cares through brothers and sisters. And then he's on the other side creating the hunger to find where God is going to meet that. So now I was thinking of him caring last evening. Somehow, strangely, I was led by the Holy Spirit. And when I was waiting on some fellas to come help Brother Wood to put a trailer that he built on the back of his truck, and I didn't know why I was trying to find my good friend Brother Evans, and I went and started up the highway. So he went up the highway looking for Brother Evans, which my wife and family sitting back here knows is true. And somehow, strangely, I turned around. So he went up the highway to go see Brother Evans, and the Holy Spirit turned him around, and he went back to a place, a motel. And oh, how it thrilled my heart to see so many of my friends gathered there in about 2 minutes' time. So he pulls into the motel, had no intentions of going to the motel to begin with, and they all pulled into the motel within 2 minutes, so they didn't know he was going to be there. But God is bringing things together because he cares. That's what he's going to show us. How it thrilled my heart to see so many of my friends gathered there in about 2 minutes' time. Till it clogged the pathway, the cars couldn't pass through no more. Just real friends driving for hundreds of miles from Georgia and Tennessee and Alabama and all around just to hear a service. And then that thought come on my mind. Then, what should I say to those people? a thought comes to Brother Branham. What should I say to those people? And this is God. Knowing that in the day of judgment, I'll have to answer for what I tell them. God caring, see? He cares about these people. And he's moved on his prophet, the mouthpiece, and the prophet's caring. I have to answer for what I tell them. And I am too a lover of this great life that is to come, and I want to be there. And then strangely, I went to a place where I made an odd turn. Instead of turning around there, I went up to make a turn. The lights flashed on a lovely couple's. The lights flashed on a lovely couple's on the outside. Two fine young ladies that I had just married to two fine young ministers. And Satan, after he seen the minister, one of them, his ministry being set, and he took a life's companion right there. So Satan's coming after him. He's a minister. He took a life's companion. He's going to start being a minister and go. They went away happily on their honeymoon after he'd married them, I guess. Yeah, he married them. One of them, his ministry being set, he took a life's companion right here, this altar. They went away happily on their honeymoon, and the enemy jumped on to this young man. When they went away on the honeymoon, the enemy jumped on this young man. And I'm saying this to express what I'm saying. Does he care? Does God care that Satan was attacking this man that was a minister? And I'm saying this to express what I'm saying. Does he care? Somehow, with faith that would not take no. See, they had faith that would not take no. They turned and returned back here. Knowing after they was all the way over in, way in the east, here somewhere on their honeymoon, returned back and was sitting and waiting. This young man had gotten attacked somehow, spiritually, I guess, on the trip. I don't think he ever says. Returned back and was sitting and waiting, and I walked in, fine, handsome young man, his wife sitting on the outside crying, her and her little companion, and the other man and the other brother coming running. This is a friend, which is a friend of this young man, saying, "Oh, Brother Branham, such and such has happened." Went there and seen this handsome young man sitting there. Now, see, God cared enough to send these people back here to wait, and he cared enough to send Brother Branham over there to send a comforter, see? Does he care in our lives? Does he care for you and me? He does. Satan tries his best to stop that, to stop you believing that he cares. Went there and seen this handsome young man sitting there, just in the peak of his life, a leader of young men, sitting there, and Satan bound him. He never noticed, but I took my hand left to shake hands with his hand right, to see if some disease had plagued him. But there was no sign of vibration. Coming right out of the room from praying and fasting and waiting upon the Lord, the anointing of the Holy Spirit was there, and that's why it led us to see. And then seeing this shadow of darkness over him, I never said what I was doing, but in less than a couple of minutes' time, it was gone. The coldness of his hands had left. He was shouting and praising God a few minutes to find himself. And here they sit right here this morning, sitting in the audience. See how Satan was trying to upset this young man by referring to him of some complex to be built back. So it's a mental battle, which the Holy Spirit knew, and I seen it by the vision of the Lord. But God cared for that man. God cared for that young man. Just coming in a few moments, and brother and sister, whoever might be listening, if God is drawing you, if he's drawing you to him, he cares. And his word is what draws us to him. Just coming in a few minutes ago, a lady, I see her sitting here in the aisle with no, just got her a seat some way and sit down. She said, 9 years, Brother Branham, I've tried to get a hold of you, and said, I'm so desperate. I'm here late and couldn't even get a prayer card to be in the line. The lady moved back. And I said, and she said, Brother Branham, just a word with you. Standing there, a vision broke over this fine-looking young woman. Jen said nothing. He just looked and the vision broke. People didn't understand that when those visions broke over them, that God was caring about them. And they don't understand nowadays that when they read the message and the message reaches out to their heart and tugs at them, that's God caring for them. They let Satan take it away from them so quick. The lady moved back and she said, Brother Branham, just a word with you. Standing there, a vision broke over this fine-looking young woman, and see that her heart was burdened. And she was trying to work to make a living. And a great thing happened back, way back in the time of her parents, that had caused this great thing to happen to her. So whatever she's dealing with, whatever she was struggling with, it's something that happened back in the time of her parents, and now she's, and it's caused what she's struggling with. The great thing that happened to her, and the Lord Jesus revealed it and showed what it was. And there in a moment's time, took it from the woman. She went around rejoicing. 9 years. She wanted to get to see the prophet. 9 years. What God had put in her heart had now transpired. She nursed that promise in her heart. If I can see him, just like that little sister that had the blood issue, it's if I can just touch his garment. She nursed that. And there in a moment's time, he took it from the woman. She went around rejoicing. And now sitting in the audience with us now, rejoicing with tears as she's wiping her eyes now, knowing that the truth of the thing was made known. And that poor little neurotic woman that was so nervous, she didn't know what to do with herself. And thinking that she was gone and there was no Holy Spirit and this is her last day. See, all them things Satan trying to give her. But even though Satan was trying to do all that to her, he couldn't take it out of her heart to try to find Brother Branham. To try to find that. He cared. She tried for 9 years and was about at the end of despair. And God cared for that little woman who no one cares for. What a time. He does care. What a time to be living. And we're still living in that time. When he was here on earth, as I say, he cared for the people. So much till he healed their sick and comforted their hearts. And told them about a place that where he would go and prepare for them. And would come again to receive them unto himself. He cared for them. And notice, he cared so much until when he knowed he must leave in order to bring this great thing to us. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send the Holy Spirit and he shall come continue my care for you. He'll come and continue this care until he returns. There's no one cares like Jesus. Knowing that his body as high priest in a mediatorial work that he's doing now, that body must be in the presence of God at all times. Now listen to what he's saying here. Don't miss this. This is why he's saying he had to go. He's got to go do that. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I have to go. My body has to be in the intercessor all this time. But when he comes, that's finished. The place is prepared. That body must be in the presence of God at all times for intercession, that God cannot see the sinner's sin. He sees only the blood of his own son. And knowing that, he sent back the Holy Spirit to continue to comfort his people. Does he care? Certainly he cares. Now, he was to continue to care for the people, his people here on earth, in the same manner that he cared for them when he was here. He's going to care for them in the same manner as he cared for them while he was here. What have we saw? A Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Because he said in St. John, the 15th chapter, if you want to make, I got notes laying here with these scriptures where I'm referring to. He said, when the Holy Spirit has come, who the Father would send in his name, he would testify of him. In other words, he would do the same things that he did when he, the Holy Ghost, has come. He'll do the same things that he did. This is how you're going to know. This is how you can put your confidence in it. This is how you can have comfort in the things that are said. The Holy Spirit, working through a tabernacle that he had sanctified, would do the same thing that he did. Now, what that ought to do for us, then, we know that right among us today, we have the same comforting Lord Jesus in the form of the Holy Ghost, another office that God himself is working in. He was a comfort to Israel when they could look up and see the pillar of fire. Christ was a comfort to them when they could see the pillar of fire and hear the prophet speak the words that was true and God vindicated. That was the comfort. When they could hear God through his prophet speak the words and vindicate it, that was their comfort. There's too many people that say they're in the message and their comfort isn't this message. They don't know anything about the message. They sit in message churches for years and know very little about what Brother Branham said. And it's a shame. When this is our comfort, what the prophet said and vindicated is our comfort. And so let's not find ourselves in that place. Let's don't find ourselves in that place. And nobody that's listening, if you fall into that place like I did years ago, don't stay there. As we get deeper into this message, he's going to really drive this home. He was a comfort when he was here on earth as a man. God made flesh. God representing himself and expressing himself through a man, Christ Jesus, who promised that the works that I do shall you do also. And I'm going to the Father and going to send back the Holy Spirit, which will be me in spirit form. The Holy Spirit will be me in spirit form. And I'll be with you and dwell in you. And the very same things that I've done here, the Holy Spirit will do again in my name when he comes. See, that's why he said to speak against that. Now, after the atonement's already made, was unpardonable sin to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You can't blaspheme your comfort. It's your comfort. And he could do it in the same way. And he would do it in the same way. So that we would know whether it was a comfort from some earthly standpoint. You see, he's making us aware how that we can know that this is a real comfort and not something from an earthly standpoint. Whether, and he's going to give you an example, whether we know it was a comfort from some elderly person who come put their arms around us and hug us a little and make us feel good. Not that kind of comfort. Or some theological term of denomination that would say, now you belong to us and we got it and don't belong to the rest of them because they haven't. See, there's people get comfort from that. Not from the comforter. He made this directly sure, see, so that there was no mistake in it. He will speak in my name. The works that I do will you do also when he's upon you. See, he would comfort in the same way by forgiving all our sins, healing all our sickness, and speaking to us comfort of the kingdom that is to come. See, now this is in 1963. Where ought we to really be now? See, proving himself among us as God proved himself among us by Christ Jesus. He'll prove himself among us. He's proven himself among us. How? By being our comforter. By being the one that we hear the word and he vindicates the word to us. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, it's written this way. Know about God. Without controversy, we realize that great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh. We saw God in flesh. That was God's comfort. We saw God in flesh, and that was God's comfort. The word vindicated, brought to pass. That was the comfort. To know that he comes so much, he cared for us until he become one of us. God manifested in the flesh, not just another person, but God himself. And now, to make another step closer, he sends the Holy Spirit to care for our comforts, and he abides in us. Oh, does he care? Amen. I know you know that he cares. I can't thank him enough for how much he cares and how much he comes on the scene for us when we're really struggling. When we really are struggling, if we are looking to him and him alone, he comes on the scene for us. He doesn't ever not honor his word. Brother Branham said that when he comes, when you come and you stand by his word and he don't come and do something, then it would make him a liar. And God can't be a liar. So you stay by his word. It's not a matter of time. It's not, time doesn't matter to a child of God. You just stay right there. When the promise is needed, you stay right there by the promise. Just keep nursing the promise. Because the promise is all that matters. You know, I probably preached this in different ways because we talked about the reality one time. Talked about they're only, you know, we live every day. And for you to tell science that this is not the reality, that people would think you're crazy. And we're not trying to deny that we're in this world and we live in it, and it's three dimensions and we touch it and we interact with it. All we're trying to say is that the real reality is God's word. And just because this world is perverted and it reflects things that aren't of God, doesn't mean that God's word is not true and that he's not bringing that to pass. And every promise is the same. And I hope I didn't get too scattered there, and that made a little sense. But if you want to go back in some of those earlier quotes there, the one about the two men, the two farmers, he goes on and on in that story if you want to go read the rest of that story. But I just wanted to pull that part of it out. But aren't you glad he cares? I mean, we're products of the fact that he cares. Otherwise, we'd be wandering, as we sing that song, we'd be wandering down some road on our own, thinking we can do this and thinking we do that, if it wasn't for him caring. So we thank him, and let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you cared. You cared in so many ways, Lord. You broke the message open to us in so many ways, Lord. And we're trusting you, Lord, for every step we take. May we do that, Lord. May we look to you for every step. May we nurse every step that we take from you, Lord. That we would follow the path of righteousness, Lord. That we would be a part of that word that you're vindicating. That we might play some part that you could use, Lord. That we become Messiahs to someone. Lord, make us real. Make us absolutely, Lord, you caring about the world in the form of men and women, Lord. May you make that come to pass. I believe you already have, Lord. You already are. And we'll continue to expect and walk in it, Lord. We ask these things now, praying, Lord, that you'll remember Little Hope there and Sister Martha and the ones that's been sick, Lord. Each one, I pray that you'll be with them, Lord, and raise them up and make them healthy so they can go about their lives. And Lord, be with us today. And we ask for all your blessings now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.